A lot of attention has been given to parshiyos that are called by the name of a person, especially parshiyos like Korach and Balak, terribly evil people who really don't seem to have deserved the right to have a parsha called in their name. And many wonderful, very insightful reasons have been given for that phenomenon. But perhaps the most simple approach, very simple, is that we tend to call parshiyos by one of the first words that appears in the parsha. And we're not going to call every parsha Vayedaber, so we look for a word in the first pasuk or two that seems to stand out. And Parshas Pinchas, despite the fact that it's called Parshas Pinchas, over 160 psukim, very few in the beginning, are about Pinchas. In fact, the story of Pinchas really takes place in last week's Parsha. At the end of Parshas Balak, psukim describe a horrific scene, terrible Chil Hashem, the public acts of Gili Arayos and Avodah Zarah taking place. Even worse, when Zimri, a Jewish leader, gets up and publicly engages in relations with Cusbi, a Midianite princess, a plague breaks out, and tens of thousands of Jewish people are being killed. And Moshe Rabbeinu is frozen. Everyone's frozen. No one knows what to do. It was only Pinchas who had the courage to get up, the zeal to charge forward and publicly, violently kill Zimri and Cusbi, to put an end to the terrible Magefa and to restore a sense of Kiddush Hashem. And in this week's parasha, Hashem rewards Pinchas for his wonderful acts of bravery. And one of the rewards he gets is the Bris Shalom, the covenant of peace. Now that seems very strange. The covenant of peace for a terribly violent act? Maybe the medal of bravery, honor, zeal, courage. Bris Shalom seems a little out of place. Would we give the Nobel Peace Prize to the man who invented the atomic bomb? It may have put an end to a horrible war, but still hardly labeled as peaceful. Why would Pinchas' violent act of killing Zimri and Cusbi earn the Bris Shalom? The Netziv in this week's Parsha explains that Pinchas may not have deserved the Bris Shalom, but he certainly needed the Bris Shalom. He explains when a person commits a violent act, it has a terrible effect on their neshama, on their behavior going forward. And even in a case like this, where Pinchas was justified, not just justified, it was the right thing to do, he saved everybody, made a Kiddush Hashem. The default would have been, the natural consequence would have been, that Pinchas may have become a more murderous person by nature, a more violent man going forward. And to counteract this natural consequence, Hashem says, I'm going to give you the Bris Shalom to help settle you down, to make sure that this act is not going to have an effect on you going forward. But if not for that great bracha from Hashem, Pinchas may have become a more murderous person by nature. This idea is also found in Parshas Re'eh. Psukim described the topic of Ir HaNidachas, a city full of people doing Avodah Zarah. And the halacha is that the Beis Din has to go out and kill every single one of those people with the sword. At the end of that parsha in Re'eh, the end of that section of Ir HaNidachas, Hashem promises to give rachamim to the judges who had to carry out and execute all those people. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh there in Parshas Re'eh explains that rachamim was not given toward the judges. It was given to the judges. The judges would become more merciful going forward. And he has the exact same idea as the Netziv here in Parshas Pinchas. The Or HaChaim explains that when a person has to carry out a very violent, very brutal act, even in the name of Hashem, even when it's the right thing to do, when it's a mitzvah, when it's mandated by halacha, still, the consequences on a person going forward, the effect that it has on their neshama, is so horrific that in these cases, Hashem had to balance it out. Hashem said, I'll make a special exception over here. Rachamim for the judges killing the Ir HaNidachas. A Bris Shalom for Pinchas, who had to kill Zimri and Cusbi in a violent way. And an important lesson that we learn from these two episodes is that barring a special act of kindness from Hashem, when a person does something, even for the right reasons, they shouldn't only think about whether it's right in the moment. We have to also consider about what are the effects going to be long-term for me? What does this behavior do to the way I feel? Do to the way I act going forward? What kind of behavior is it reinforcing? Golda Meir, the fourth prime minister of Israel, is quoted as having said, I can forgive the Arabs for killing our children, but I cannot forgive them for turning our children into killers. For soldiers, pikuach nefesh, it's self-defense, it's the right thing to do, it's a mitzvah. But still, makes our children into murderers. What does that do going forward? What does that do to our neshamas? What does it do to our behavior going forward? Sefer HaChinuch is probably the most famous one to express this idea. He coined the term, acharei ha-pa'ulos nimshachem halavavos. Often we think about that the way that we feel will influence how we act. If I'm feeling excited, I'll go do something. If I'm feeling bored, then I won't. But often it's the opposite. Acharei ha-pa'ulos, after the actions, nimshachem halavavos. The feelings come later. We can't always change the way we feel. but we can change the way that we act, and that will have an effect on how we feel. Sefer HaChinuch explains that if a person does the wrong thing, even for the right reasons, eventually it'll have an effect on them. They may start cutting corners even when it's not justified. And also in the positive, if a person doesn't feel like doing mitzvos, but they start acting it out, they start performing mitzvos with excitement that they don't really feel, eventually the excitement will come. Eventually they will start to feel whatever it is they're acting out. This principle that we can affect the way that we feel, our actions really change the way that we live our lives, it's really the center of a popular mode of therapy known as CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. The B of CBT, behavioral, works with the principle that a person can change how they think and how they feel by changing their actions. One common CBT program for those who are struggling with depression is known as behavioral activation. Behavioral activation is someone who's lying in bed all day and feels, I'm never going to want to get out of bed, I'm never going to want to engage socially ever again. I'll wait until I feel ready to go outside to the real world, and then I'll do so. And the CBT approach would be, no, you have to start by getting out of bed. As long as you're staying in bed in the dark room away from everybody else, that's going to keep festering these feelings of loneliness, feelings of sadness. And even if you're not feeling like getting out of bed, get out of bed anyway. Go out, talk to people, go get some sunlight. And the actions will eventually change how we feel internally. Just like Pinchas, a good person commits a violent act for the right reasons, has an effect on him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to intervene and give him the Brit Shalom to help calm it down. Because otherwise, what a person does really affects how they feel going forward. So, what are the takeaways over here? For one, before committing a particular act, it isn't enough just to stop and ask, is it the right thing to do? We have to also ask, what are the consequences going to be for me as a person? A particular circumstance might call for me to get fired up, to stand up for Hashem's honor, like Pinchas, or for somebody else's honor, or to properly discipline a child or a student. But what are the effects going to be on me as a person? Will it make me less compassionate? Will it make me more hostile going forward? And if yes, what areas of my life can I work on compassion? Where can I find a chance to have Brit Shalom, a chance to have Rachamim, a chance to balance it out to make sure that the zeal and passion in one area of my life doesn't spill over into my behavior going forward? And secondly, is there something good that we want to do, but we don't want to do it yet? So not to wait for the desire to come. Recognizing achareya pe'ulos nimshachem halavavos, by acting it out first, we can help engender that feeling. Mesilas Yesharim at the end of Perek Zayin explains, if a person is not excited to go to shul, try running to shul. Try acting like you're excited for something. And remarkably, it works. Behavioral activation works when a person acts like they're interested in behaving socially and going outside. It has an effect on how they feel and how they think. We can change the way that we feel by changing the way that we act. And during this time of the 3 weeks where we're supposed to try to connect to the loss of thousands of years ago, and many of us don't feel it. We don't feel a connection to Yerushalayim. We never had a Beis HaMikdash that we can remember. So then how are we supposed to connect? How are we supposed to feel sad to feel this loss? It's hard to work on feeling a certain way. What we can do is work on certain actions. And we don't have to go looking to make up our own. Chazal already gave us the Nihugi Avelis, the customs of the 3 weeks that we observed, started yesterday. Going forward, we're going to be engaging in certain acts of mourning. And if we let them, these acts can help change the way that we feel. Achareya pe'ulos nimshachem halavavos. We can use this time to work on ourselves, to make sure that our actions reflect the feelings we're trying to engender. And Amir Tzah Hashem, by doing so, to be zocha to see back the building of the Beis HaMikdash.